The Democrat Party has become too extreme to be trusted with power. Their radical policies are a danger to your family and to your country.
How true that is in this day and age. Good morning and welcome into the Wednesday edition of The Daily Perspective. Hi there, I am Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. And I hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday. It's the day before the 4th of July Independence Day celebration here in the United States of America. And I hope that you and yours have some fun lined up for tomorrow. I know that that me and mine will be enjoying some ribs tomorrow. We'll be spending some time with family and looking for a good fireworks show. Hopefully that will be part of your day as well. Hi there. It's good to have you along today. Wherever you may be listening. It's been a weird 24 hours. Can I just say? That's all I got to say. It's been a weird 24 hours. With everything crashing and burning on me yesterday, and then it was a very busy day, and it was just, wow, just crazy. And today's just another one of those. Another one. Hey, a little bit of housekeeping backing up to yesterday. My sincere apologies to everybody on Facebook Live when it all just belched and went south for the winter. I finally ditched the software I was using to connect to Facebook, because I do this live on Facebook for you podcast subscribers. I do this live on Facebook each weekday morning from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 to 9 Central, and feeding it to Facebook is really not that complicated. Facebook has actually set up some wonderful tools to make that happen. It's just that they make it very easy from your mobile device, from a cell phone or from the camera, you know, the little camera on your computer that looks at you so you can do face-to-face conversations with people. And it's not so simple if you want to include other sounds, other audio sources, other things like...
Dang it, Bobby!
You know, if you want to include things like that, you have to have an audio mixer and you have to have another piece of software to link back in so that you can deliver all of your external material like video and slides and stuff like that to Facebook Live. So it's just a different piece of weirdness and complication. And I was using something that has been rock solid for a long time. And just in the last month or so, it's gotten flaky on me. And I don't know if it's because they did an update that's causing problems or possibly there was a software update on the computer that's been driving things or what. But it's broken, so it doesn't work anymore. And now those of you on Facebook Live, you're looking, if you look closely, you'll notice that what used to move in the background on your screen is not moving. That's because what I'm using as a temporary fix for today doesn't have an option for playing videos. So I can't do much about that. I can send you the audio stream and I can send you these slides. I just did screen captures of the video things that I normally put up when I'm talking about various things, and I've got these. And that's what I have. However, when the Friday program rolls around, hopefully I'll have something else set up, because I've just gone ahead and dropped coin for a decent piece of software, and hopefully we can get that up and working by the Friday morning program. So much for housekeeping. Just as an FYI, I will say this, that OBS, the program, it's a studio software package that is just phenomenal for what it does and for what it costs. It's just absolutely incredible. I will say that. It is very, very nice. But for some reason, it has some issues. And I don't know what those issues are, but hopefully they'll get those issues fixed, because I liked it. And I really didn't want to have to drop the coin on Wirecast, because that's expensive. Anyway, moving right along. Today is going to be Kind of fun, because we're going to kick off with a little bit of insanity. Yes, we are. We're going to kick off with a little bit of the craziness that is the circus of politics. In fact, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Hang on. Maybe that's not right. Oh, how about this one instead? How about this? This may work, Brad. You guys probably remember this nutcase. She's in Washington, D.C., and has been for quite some time. She's been there for 9 years, 8 or 9 years. She's from Florida. She represents Florida's 24th Congressional District. That includes an area from Miami to Miramar. She serves on the House Committee on Foreign Affairs and the Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. She is a space cadet. She has the card to prove it. In May 2015, she was appointed to the advisory council of then-President Barack Obama's My Brother's Keeper Alliance. Her net worth? Approximately $1.5 million. Her name is Frederica Wilson. And she has asserted that people who mock members of Congress online should face prosecution. Quote, those people who are online making fun of members of Congress are a disgrace, and there is no need for anyone to think that is unacceptable. She said unacceptable. She meant acceptable. Wilson said during comments made yesterday outside of the Homestead Temporary Shelter for Unaccompanied Children in Homestead, Florida. Homestead is south of Miami, between Miami and the Keys. She says, we're going to shut them down and work with whoever it is to shut them down, and they should be prosecuted. You cannot intimidate members of Congress, frighten members of Congress. It is against the law, and it's a shame in this United States of America. Now, Monday, ProPublica publicized some posts made by Border Patrol agents in a private Facebook group that disparaged migrants and some members of Congress, such as Democratic New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Wilson then went on to blame President Trump for causing people to lose respect for Congress, the media, and the White House. Because, of course, everything that happens you disagree with is Donald Trump's fault if you are a loony. And this woman is a loony. A May 2019 Gallup poll recorded a 20% approval rating for Congress. 20%. The approval rating for Congress has not hit 30% in 10 years. It's been 10 years since they scored even 30%. People don't like Congress. Wilson has long been a critic of the president, whom she has claimed is crazy and suffering from a brain disorder. I'm going to come back to this in just a moment. Please, please, stick your thumb right there, okay? She waded into a public feud with the White House in October of 2017 when she listened in on a phone call that Trump made to Maisha Johnson, the widow of Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, who was killed in the line of duty in Niger on October 4th of 2017. Wilson claimed that Trump told the Gold Star widow that her husband, quote, knew what he signed up for, but I guess it still hurt, end quote. The White House, of course, denied her characterization of the phone call, with then White House Chief of Staff John Kelly saying he was stunned that a member of Congress would listen to and publicize such a private conversation. Wilson laughed later that the incident had made her a rock star. Okay, remember where your thumb was? Wilson has long been a critic of the president, whom she has claimed is crazy and suffering from a brain disorder. Dear Frederica, your president, and he is your president whether you like it or not, your president doesn't wear sequined cowboy hats when he appears in public. Your president doesn't wear stylized Panama hats while speaking in public. Your president doesn't dress like a circus clown when he's appearing in public. Oddly enough, you do. The only conclusion that we can draw from this is that you, dear Frederica, have a few marbles missing upstairs. Somehow you think this is appropriate. Somehow you think this is symbolic of something meaningful for you. And what it proves to us, dear Frederica, is that you are really a few cards shy of a full deck. If you think wearing sequined glittery cowboy hats makes you somehow endeared to your constituency, then we need to question your constituency. Actually, we should, because they keep sending her back. But that's the latest from Frederica Wilson. From time to time, she has to find some way to get some publicity. And when she gets that publicity, she dresses like a gay cowboy. I'm not sure how that happens. Yeah, well, moving along. Let's look at something else that's a little loony. Twitter. How much time do we have here? Not much. Let's just get started and we'll dive back in if we get interrupted, okay? All right. Twitter's latest policy change regarding how they choose to trample on the speech of their users and avoid triggering anybody went into effect last week. Now it's being fully kicked into gear. They're also no longer making exceptions for world leaders, candidates for office, or anyone else of the sort. Yep, they're looking at you, President Trump. Real clear politics. I promise. I for years have spoken for a living. Real clear politics. My mouth won't do what my eyes are telling it to do. Real clear politics has the rundown of the new changes with a particular focus on how it may directly impact the at real Donald Trump account. They also highlight much of the inconsistency in Twitter's policies in general. Here's what they say. Last week, Twitter announced that it would no longer exempt most tweets by government officials from its rules regarding what it deems abusive behavior. Historically, tweets such as President Trump's were allowed to remain up, even if the company determined that they violated its policies due to their being in the public interest as an official communication by a head of state. Now, the company will hide and deprioritize those tweets and possibly even suspend accounts for language it deems outside its view of acceptable speech. Wow. Let's highlight that and remember that little line, okay? We'll come back to it. Under the new policy to protect the health of the public conversation on Twitter, which went into effect June 27th, tweets that, in Twitter's eyes, represent threats of violence can result in a public official's account or that of a candidate for office being suspended until he or she deletes the offending messages. Nonviolent tweets the company sees as violating its speech rules will be hidden behind an overlay that users must click through to view the tweet, as is the cause with pornography. It's the case with pornography and other sensitive content. The tweets will also be de-emphasized by Twitter's algorithms to massively reduce their discoverability. Let's look back at this before getting into the specifics of how the rules are applied to President Trump and presumably other world leaders. It's worth taking note the language that Twitter is using when they discuss their capabilities. Do you remember how virulently they denied shadow banning people? You remember several people said, yeah, I'm getting shadow banned. And they said, no, we don't do that. No. And they were very firm about it. What does the phrase de-emphasized to massively reduce their discoverability sound like to you? That's the definition of shadow banning. They've been doing it for a long time and they're still doing it. Don't expect that to change. Don't expect it to change. The hilarious part of the rules change is that they're claiming they can apply the same rules to presidential communications that they do to personal conversations or even trolling. For example, their policy against threats of violence could, in the opinion of Twitter's spokesperson, be applied to a Trump tweet where he threatens military action against Iran if they don't comply with international agreements or thwart sanctions. You know, anything they interpret as being against their policy can be shadow banned by Twitter. And all it takes is one weenie, one wacko being offended. That's all it takes. We'll have more after the break when the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Hi there. I actually laid all this stuff out, and that first break always catches me off guard. It's the shortest one of the program, and it's just like, oh, it's over? I barely had time to fill my coffee mug. Oh, my. It is the Wednesday before 4th of July. The Independence Day holiday is upon us, and I hope you've got a big, big Independence Day plan that all is going to be fun for you and your family. You're going to enjoy some great food and celebrate this nation and our independence. We're celebrating the day that we decided, we're not going to live under that kind of rulership anymore. So, bye-bye, Great Britain. We're stepping away. And, of course, a lot of fighting and bloodshed came after that, and we finally beat them off and stood on our own. Now, those in leftist, liberal, progressive circles today, they don't care about that. What they care about is how evil this country is and how terrible everything has been and how unfair and unfair. And it's just so unfair. And they're having problems with everything about it. They just are. Take, for example, what's happening in D.C. tomorrow. President Trump, a while back, decided, you know what? We need to have a real party. Let's have a real blowout of a celebration on the 4th of July. We need to. Let's have a parade. Let's pull in the military. Let's bring some, bring some tanks. Let's show America let's show the world our strength. Let's just be proud of who we are and what we've accomplished. Let's honor the men and women who fight to keep us safe and who respond when other people around the world say, please come help us. Let's honor those people. And what are they doing? What is the left doing? They're going insane. They're going out of their ever-loving minds. It's absolutely crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy town. Because everything Trump does is evil. Even if just mere months ago they agreed with it and said, this is what we need to do. If he says we need to do it, nope, can't do that. Wrong. And that is why this whole Twitter regulation thing is so bizarre. Because what happens to people's tweets, to their presence on Twitter, is directly the result of people's feelings being hurt. People being angry about someone else's opinion. People disagreeing and disallowing anyone else to express an opinion contrary to what they believe. This is progressivism. It's like, who was it? It was William F. Buckley, I think, who said that liberals, and I'm going to paraphrase here, liberals talk about respecting and appreciating other people's opinions and then are shocked when other people have opinions. Differing opinions. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a group of people who tell you that everything is valuable and everything is precious and everything must be accepted and everyone must be believed. Unless they disagree. And then everyone who disagrees is evil and should not be paid attention to and should not be allowed to express their opinions or to reveal the reality of a situation. If you go up against a progressive in social media in the comments, never do this, by the way. Just don't. Don't waste your time. Please. It's like wrestling with a pig. You both get nasty and one of you enjoys it, and it won't be you. Don't mess with liberals in the comments sections below articles. They don't care what you think. All they'll do is get nasty with you, and you'll eventually want to go take a shower because, come on, that's how they work. They don't care what you think. They just care what they think and can't believe you don't agree with them, and it offends them, and they want to pound you into the sand for believing something different. Just look at what happened to Andy Ngo when he was beaten up by Antifa. He was just there to report on what happened. They recognized him as a conservative and put him in a hospital and did the same thing to an elderly man. This gray-haired guy, his face covered in blood after being beaten with a crowbar. That is progressivism. If you disagree, you must be put down. And that's how they treat everything. And in the Twitter world, in social media, they will jump on and complain about someone they disagree with, and Twitter will restrict their reach. This is how this works. Anything they perceive as being racist, sexist, homophobic, or what have you, results in an account suspension until the tweets are deleted. With enough violations, the account could actually be completely scrapped. Now we're back to this article again. Anybody care to place a wager on what the president's first reaction will be if they suspend him for what they define as a naughty tweet? All options will be on the table, I think. But all it would take would be a press release saying that Donald Trump had created a Gab account, and that app would shoot into the stratosphere overnight. Here's the thing, though. As sad as it may be to consider it, you can't criticize Twitter for any of this. We're not talking about a free speech issue because Twitter isn't the government. They're a private company. They get to set the rules for the use of their product. Of course, those rules will pretty much only be enforced against conservatives because of the staggering liberal bias at Twitter. But that's how the free market tumbles. If we don't like it, we can vote with our feet, or, in the case of Twitter, our thumbs. So can the president. If he goes to another platform, he'll be bringing millions of people with him. And that is, honestly, what the folks at Gab are hoping for. They're hoping he finally gets fed up with Twitter and says, well, fine, join me over at Gab. And then Gab will explode. And I think they're preparing for that because the folks at Gab have just retooled their entire everything about their platform. And they're launching it tomorrow. So they're getting ready for something to change. But this is the life we live in America today. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, my parents reinforced to me that whining about things I didn't like or that I thought weren't fair wasn't going to get me anywhere. I had to learn to deal with the situation and to rise above it because that's the healthy, proper thing to do. If you don't, well, you're never going to be happy your entire life. You're actually not going to be successful. Because life is not fair. Life is not right. And it's just not fair that you can't get what you want in life. We're watching that particular attitude prevail coming from the progressive side of our society. Life isn't fair. Look at all these victim groups. They're the victim of unfairness. Instead of standing up on their own two feet, instead of assessing what is causing them to not succeed and dealing with that, they choose to blame others. Now, don't get me wrong here. From time to time, you do have people standing in your way. I've experienced it in my career. I've experienced it in private life where people have stood in my way. And sometimes the only way that you can get around that, the only way you can succeed when that happens, is to pack your stuff and find another job. Because that person has enough authority over you that you'll never succeed where you are. And you know you can. And you know that someone who has authority over you will never allow that to happen. Trust me. If you're a radio person, you know this is true. And you've seen it happen. And you've seen incompetent nuts promoted past you because of favoritism or someone in management who just doesn't like your style. It happens in the radio business all the time. Where someone who just disagrees with your approach will not allow you to succeed. And will do everything they can to corral you and to keep you in line. I could tell you stories. Wouldn't be wise. But this happens to everyone in every walk of life. Someone plants their feet and stands in your way. If you explore all the options and you can't succeed because of that person, then you step around them and go somewhere else. Find somewhere you can succeed. Because what are your choices? Move forward in spite of the weenies who want to hold you back? Or stay where you are and whine? And what we have in our society today is a large contingent of whiners. People who have decided that life is against them, and doggone it, it's just not fair. And some of those people become advocates for the, quote, oppressed, end quote. And those people who become advocates run for office. They become professional politicians. And they live off of your tax dollars and tell you how evil you are for wanting to be successful. And that's what we're dealing with when we're dealing with people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others like her. She, Bernie Sanders, and others are all big in that club. And they want to convince you you're the one that's evil. More after the break when the Daily Perspective continues. I need coffee. Where's my coffee? Welcome back to Ye Olde Daily Perspective. Hi there. Thanks for being there today. I really appreciate it. I do. And touching back on what I talked about at the top of the show, apologies for yesterday. It was just a weird day. And it finally, something that wasn't working finally decided, I'm done. And it just kind of left me hanging. And I managed to continue recording most of the show. Even though the Facebook Live part of it went down, it just, there was no way I could resurrect it. I actually, to be honest with you, I thought I had at one point, and then realized, oh no, it's not live. So, I was recording anyway, so I think podcast subscribers got all but one segment. There was like 9 minutes of the show missing yesterday, and that was the segment. And I don't know if you could have heard it or not, but I was sitting here talking about, well, that's not working. This is not working. Let me see. And I was actually live trying to troubleshoot and figure out what was going on. And I just, that was in the recording. I just cut it all out. There's no sense in sending that out to the podcast, folks. So you didn't get that yesterday. And no, there was no colorful language. Oh, my goodness. It is a Wednesday edition of the show. It is the day before the 4th of July. And, I would be remiss if I did not tell you that the Daily Perspective newsletter is absolutely free and comes to your inbox every morning right after the show, usually, unless I'm having to put out fires or figure out why everything crashed and burned like yesterday. What, that threw me behind about an hour yesterday. At any rate, Get signed up today by going to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Look on the right-hand side of the page. You'll see the sign-up form right there at the top of the right column. Just give me your name and your email address, and I'll get you the show notes after each live show each morning. Just get signed up today. If you sign up, then you're on, let's see, if you're on the Facebook live feed right now and you sign up, you'll get today's show notes. If not, if you're listening to the podcast, wander on over there and get signed up and you'll get the next edition. Won't be tomorrow. It'll be Friday because I won't be here tomorrow. Just as a heads up in case you weren't aware. All right. All right. That's dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Right-hand column. Fill out the form. Okay. We were talking about those who are advocates for victims, because everybody has to be a victim in order for these people to have political careers. In case you weren't aware of it, that's what I was talking about. Well, a big, big story that hit yesterday involves Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying migrant women held in a Customs and Border Protection facility were told to drink water out of toilets. Well, there's been a lot about this out there, and I'm just going to say this right up front. This young lady is a liar. She's a prevaricator. She fabricates things every day. I thought Hillary Clinton was a gifted liar. This woman makes Hillary Clinton look like an amateur. Because we already know that the photographs of her outside the facility in tears, they were all staged. She was looking at an empty parking lot. We know that she is on the wrong side of practically every issue. And in order to get publicity, she pitches a fit on a regular basis. An agent has directly refuted her allegation. She has yet to clarify if she actually saw anything like she claims occurring. She tweeted Monday after visiting her first CBP detention center that day. Officers were keeping women in cells with no water and had told them to drink out of the toilets. This was them on their good behavior in front of members of Congress. It was her first accusation that women in the Texas facility were being explicitly told by agents to drink water from toilets. She later spoke to reporters outside the facility, and her comments suggested she personally saw women drinking out of a toilet. Quote, "These women were being told by CBP officers to drink out of a toilet. They were drinking water out of the toilet, and that was them knowing a congressional visit was coming. This is CBP on their best behavior." However, she didn't provide an answer when a reporter asked if she personally witnessed this. A CBP agent who was reportedly close by as Ocasio-Cortez toured the facility said the congresswoman was purposely misconstruing a story she heard. Quote, "So this is what happened with the migrant and drinking water from the toilet. She wanted water, didn't know how to use the faucet in the cell, and drank from the toilet. She never told AOC that we made her drink from the toilet. AOC, of course, changed it. This was when the migrant was apprehended and brought into the facility." This is according to an unnamed agent who spoke with the Washington Examiner. It was later clarified the toilet in question was connected to a faucet and sink marked potable water. Ocasio-Cortez said women were told to drink water from the bowl because the faucet wasn't working. And hopefully you've seen the photos by now. And when I saw the photo, I said, oh, yeah, I've seen those. And it's common in holding cells in facilities across the country. There is a fixture that has a stainless steel toilet bowl down low, and above the bowl, above where the tank on your home toilet would be, there is a sink, and there are faucets on the sink and the like. There's drinking water there. They come from different sources. What feeds the toilet doesn't feed the sink. Well, it's not clear if Ocasio-Cortez personally witnessed individuals drinking water. I doubt seriously she did. Or if one or multiple women told her they were directed to drink from a toilet. We're talking about people here who have broken international law, who know they're breaking international law, who in many cases have been coached on what to say when they reach our borders. And they know what's going on here because it's being publicized everywhere. AOC's office has not responded for requests for comments yet. She also said she felt threatened and was disrespected by CBP officers when she visited the migrant detention center. But agents said she was the one behaving in a threatening manner. She was screaming at officers who were nearby. A CBP deputy, the deputy commissioner Robert Perez, said, "I can tell you with the utmost confidence that the migrants, anyone and everyone in our custody at all of our facilities have ready access to fresh water. I've never heard in 26 years of being in this business, ever heard of that type of allocation being made." So AOC is lying. She is lying. And I can know this because, according to the Western Journal, after tales of mistreatment at a detention center for migrants stoked his outrage, the Reverend Samuel Rodriguez and a group of Hispanic clergy were prepared to see the worst when they toured a facility in El Paso County, Texas. After all, Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York had denounced the conditions inside, as did attorneys who said they saw deplorable conditions within the facilities where illegal immigrants are housed after being detained. Ocasio-Cortez said, "What we saw today was unconscionable. No child should ever be taken from their family. No woman should ever be locked up in a pen when they have done no harm to another human being." Further, ABC reported that Dr. Dolly Lucio Sevier wrote in a medical declaration, quote, "the conditions within which they are held could be compared to torture facilities," end quote. But Pastor Rodriguez, president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference and senior pastor of New Season Christian Worship Center in Sacramento, California, told a media briefing what he saw on his tour was different. Quote, "I read the reports, saw the news clips. I just wanted to see what was actually happening in order to be able to enable our efforts to find a fair and just solution to our broken immigration system. To my surprise, I saw something drastically different from the stories I've been hearing in our national discourse. Even as a veteran of the immigration advocacy in the U.S., I was shocked at the misinformation of the crisis at the border." Despite various claims of filth and harsh conditions, Rodriguez said he found nothing to support them. He said, "We found no soiled diapers, no deplorable conditions, and no lack of basic necessities." He said he even asked officials running the center if the tour was staged to hide the truth. They unequivocally denied it. He says, "We were witnessing the identical conditions the attorneys saw when they toured the facility days earlier," adding that he was told, "Some of those who condemned the facility never toured the areas of the facility that they toured." Rodriguez said during the tour, one Border Patrol agent talked to him about the negative media coverage. Quoting him, he says, "Pastor Sam, what they're saying about us is completely false. We care about these kids and have a passion for our calling." Rodriguez and Pastor Carlos Moran, a board member of the NHCLC, urged that politics be removed from the difficult issue of caring for children who have crossed the southern border illegally. Quote, "We as evangelical leaders that serve in different segments are very committed to helping children regardless of their status. And we commend those officers that are trying their very best to serve and fulfill their duty at the border. However, we do call on our political leaders to set aside their personal agendas and begin focusing on resolving this immigration crisis." What's heart-wrenching, he goes on to say, is that we have both Republicans and Democrats alike in Congress who can't come together for the purpose of doing the right thing and finding a solution to our immigration crisis. Please, President Trump, please, White House, work with the Republicans and the Democrats, and please, 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 Nancy Pelosi, Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, please come together to solve this crisis immediately, Rodriguez said. So here we have a group of people who went to this facility predisposed to condemn the conditions because of everything they had been seeing. And when they got there, they saw what they had been told was not true. And this is what we're hearing again and again from trustworthy people, honest people. But when progressive politicians go, what we hear is horror stories. And that leads me to believe that progressive politicians are making things up on the fly. They have an agenda, and part of that agenda is lying to you. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective, heading into the final segment for the morning. Mark Congleton here. You're there. That's kind of how this arrangement works. I have the keys to the big crazy bus. Let me drive, okay? That's just kind of how this works, all right? Oh, man, let's see here. Back to AOC and the stir she tried to cause. White House senior advisor Kellyanne Conway yesterday blasted AOC over her outrageous claim that Border Patrol agents told migrants to drink out of toilets. And that ignited a fiery war of words on Twitter. In an appearance on Fox and Friends, Conway called Ocasio-Cortez's Monday trip to U.S. Customs and Border Protection facilities in Texas a photo op. And she's right about that. Noting that agency officials have denied her allegations that women there had no water and were told to drink out of their toilets. Quote, Chuck Schumer wants to talk about photo ops? I saw one yesterday. It's called Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez going down to one of those facilities and making this outrageous claim that a woman's drinking from a toilet, which everybody who has control over that facility or control for the Border Patrol has said that's not true. They've not heard of this. Conway also accused Ocasio-Cortez of refusing to answer reporters' questions about the incident by rolling up the window on her car and joking, don't let the air conditioning out. Well, later on Twitter, AOC hit back. Quote, how many migrant women has Kellyanne Conway touched, hugged, sat on a concrete floor with, actually listened to? The answer is none. Her actions show she doesn't believe all human beings are worthy of basic dignity. That's why she defends and muddies the clear and indefensible. Conway then responded by noting Ocasio-Cortez voted against the $4.6 billion in humanitarian aid for the southern border that was passed by Congress last week. She said, how many migrant women did AOC help by voting against the $4.6 billion bipartisan humanitarian aid that is for them? She even voted against the Democrat aid package. All talk, no dollars. Ocasio-Cortez visited the migrant detention centers along the southern border with other congressional Democrats Monday, then tweeted that officers were keeping women in cells with no water, told them to drink out of toilets. A CBP official denied the accusations, explaining that the facilities have sinks that dispense safe drinking water attached to the toilets. Unidentified witnesses subsequently claimed to the Washington Examiner that Ocasio-Cortez yelled at law enforcement agents in a threatening manner and was crying and screaming and yelling while visiting the facility in El Paso. She hit back, claiming CBP officials were just upset I exposed their inhumane behavior. Really? And they exposed your lies, is what they did. They exposed your lies. Oh, back to Kellyanne Conway. Boy, when she's on, she's on. She sparred with reporters yesterday, accusing one journalist of altering President Donald Trump's remarks for the purpose of editorializing. Mediaite reports that NBC's Peter Alexander asked Conway about Trump's remarks from the day before, when he talked about his upcoming 4th of July speech, while also criticizing Democrats on the issue of health care. He said, the president just yesterday was asked if he could give a speech that would reach all Americans. And in his answer, he said of the Democrats that their health care plan would destroy the country. It didn't seem to sort of give a sense of... And then Conway replied, well, both are true at the same time. He actually, if you're not giving his full response, which is irresponsible of you, the full response, please, she says, as Alexander started reading a transcript of Trump's remarks. She said, it's going to take you a while to find Trump's exact remarks in the transcript because you came here only to give a partial response. Partial information is misinformation. He then read from the transcript, quote, do you think that you can give a speech that can reach all Americans on July 4th? Trump had been asked. I think so. I think I've reached most Americans. Most Americans want no crime. Most Americans want a strong military. They want good education. They want good health care. This is Alexander quoting Trump's reply. If you look at pre-existing conditions, the Republicans are going to save pre-existing conditions. The Democrats won't be able to do it, he said, again, quoting Trump. Then he added a line that Trump had not said. He said, even though Republicans voted to undercut Obamacare, well, Conway wasn't having it. Did the president say that, or did you just slip that in? No. Let America know that you're slipping in your editorial comments. Do not say you're quoting the president of the United States and slip in an editorial comment, because I don't think it's your job to slip that in. This man was never Senator or Congressman Trump. He's never voted to undercut Obamacare. Well, Alexander tried to defend himself. Trump wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about the Republicans, which is what I said, he claimed. The president said what the Democrats' plan is going to destroy the country and is going to be horrible health care. So the president, when asked in the very question in which he was asked if he could speak to all Americans, said the Democrats' health care plan was going to destroy Americans. Is that a political statement or is that a patriotic statement? He went on to ask. Conway said, that's a factual statement and you know it. Thank you for reading the whole thing, because you didn't come here to do that. And she went on to accuse him of asking the question just to have a negative, to toss it at me like a Molotov cocktail and hope that you get to be on the nightly news tonight. Give the full response. The president said a lot. So she wasn't having any part of his editorializing. And I think this is important. This story is important. It's kind of a toss-away story in the regards of most, but I think it's important because it's an illustration of what the press is actually doing. This is what the press is doing every day. They're editorializing in their questions. They're pulling things out of context. They're giving the impressions which are not true. And every time they do, the evening news runs with it without clarification. And so many of your friends are believing things that are just not true, because they've been presented things as though they are true by sources they assume they can trust. So keep that in mind. And remember, this is one reason why I tell you on a very regular basis, you can't trust the evening news. You can't trust the cable news channels. You can't watch soundbite news and expect to really know what's going on. You don't have to become a policy wonk. You don't have to spend hours a day digging. You just have to do a little clicking around and reading more sources. That's really all you have to do, which is why I encourage you to get the newsletter every day that has the links to the articles that I pass on to you with my commentary, and to look at those articles and find the links in those articles, because almost every article contains links to other stories, references, which give you deeper context for the situation. You can get a lot more out of the stories you read online from various sources than you'll ever get from the top of the hour news, the bottom of the hour headlines, from headline news, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNBC, MSNBC, and even Fox News. Because when you watch the news on any of these sources, a story will get a minute, maybe a minute and a half of time, unless they're having a discussion about a particular topic, and then they'll invite the talking heads in, and they'll all give you their opinions. And generally speaking, even on Fox News, which, even though it has become more leftist than it has been in the past, even on Fox News, you get a liberal slant on things. It's not an accurate picture of what's really going on. And that's one reason that when I see certain people hit the, for example, on Fox and Friends in the mornings, if I see certain people hit the curvy couch, my eyes roll and I start wondering, is there anything on YouTube I could watch that would be entertaining? Because I know that those people are not going to get things right, and I know that their opinion is what they're going to be expressing, and I know that they probably won't be challenged properly because there's not enough time. Because the show must go on. They've got the next guest in the wings waiting to come on in 90 seconds, right after the next break. They can't do the story justice. But you can, just by doing a little bit of digging. But let me tell you something. I don't want you digging tomorrow. Take tomorrow, enjoy time with your family and friends, take a moment to reflect on how this country was founded and why we're here, and enjoy. And we'll see you Friday on the next edition of The Daily Perspective. God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.